12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Brave the dark woods of folk horror with us in this Vaisen actual play, The Hidden North. Remember, 12-sided stories are always story-heavy, rules-light, and full of fright.
Hello, my name is Wes Otis. Welcome to The Hidden North, episode number 7. I am here with some wonderful players. Let us start with Michelle.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and I am playing Greta, your friendly local academic, and we are both she/her.
Hello, everyone. I am Piper. I use they/them pronouns, and I am playing Elizabeth Purse, the writer who uses she/they pronouns.
Hello, everyone. My name is Candace, also known as Candace the Magnificent. My pronouns are they/she, and I am playing Hildegard Brunson, the Doctor, also they/she.
Hello, I'm Saint or Saint Spider, and I am playing Sieve Kask. I haven't said her last name in a moment. We both go by she, her pronouns, and she is the reluctant occultist.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon, support the podcast, and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
This is a great place for a recap. In the last game, you all got to walk around the castle a bit more. You had found a relatively new tooth that you then learned was probably taken out by a tooth fairy, and you gained access through a Scottish brownie who let you into the library, and they had a bunch of sparrows that were helping them clean up, and you got them some birdseed, or at least Elizabeth did. Why going out to the market, Elizabeth learned that nuns have been coming over to the castle for tours. There was a mention of Mother Superior not liking that, of the local Mother Superior, and that they had to go back before Mother Superior appeared again, and so they wouldn't get in trouble. You helped clean up the library, and you were able to find a bunch of information, basically that Sister Efka had written more than one book. One was produced by the Catholic Church, the other was printed by the society itself, talking about different Vaisen, and a lot of notes on eradication and that sort of thing. It's obvious that Efka did not feel that Vaisen were a good thing to have in the world. Finally, when Elizabeth was at the store, she met the general store owner, Jack. He had mentioned that the people in the town were kind of leery of the castle and the people who were coming in and out of it. There were a lot of missing people that were popping up, a lot of children going missing, and they wondered if something nefarious was going on in the castle. At the very beginning of the game, he had a conversation with Algot and realized that it's possible that all of these loops are causing a bleed-through effect where something from one timeline is popping up in another timeline. The tooth he found pretty much matches Elizabeth's tooth, which was disconcerting. The last time we were together, all of you were in the library. Unless you want to continue on with talking in the library, I was going to fast forward to that night. I want you all to roll a 6-sided die for me and let me know what you get.
I have got a 2.
4.
I got a 6.
I got a 5.
Okay. Hildegard, you get your bath at some point. Finally, you get a bath, which you had spoken about earlier. Like, it feels like 12 days ago. And you're getting ready to go to bed. And you kind of slip into unconsciousness, go to sleep. You find yourself above your bed, looking down at yourself on the bed. You see fairies whispering into your ears, and you begin to cry. Tears come out, but you're not awake. And these other strange-looking fairies with long faces that end in almost like hummingbird beaks fly up and are flapping right around where your eyes are, and they're using their tubular tongues to drink your tears. Can I get a horror check? Or a fear check, I mean?
I guess. One success.
That's enough. You bolt straight out of bed, and you're completely awake just within a second. And there's nothing around you, but your face is wet with tears.
Ugh, not again. I thought we were past this crying thing. Ugh.
Hildegard slaps himself, not hard enough to, like, shake them, but hard enough to sting and open their eyes to the room. And I think as they look around and try to see if they can still see these creatures, they kind of speak out loud.
You kindest things will not shake me. If you want to talk, let's talk. If you want tears, I could give them to you willingly, but I won't play your game, not like this.
The two creatures that were drinking from your tear ducts fly out, and they get relatively close to your face. Like I said, they don't have mouths or anything, and they point towards your eyes.
You want tears, yes?
They nod their head yes.
What will you give me in return?
They think for a second, and they produce a key.
Ah, useful. All right. I would also like a promise from you that you will ask in future, not just me, but for my friend as well.
They seem to agree, but it's hard to tell because they've got beaks with these tube tongues in them, so... They seem agreeable, but they're definitely strange looking.
I think Hildegard kind of nods, recognizing their communication issue, and clasps the key in one hand. In the other hand, they put that around the sunstone at their heart, and they think of their sister and the day that she was taken, and they allow themselves to fall into that sadness that they keep extremely excised from themselves. It is in a compartment within a compartment within a compartment of their compartmentalization. And she opens, like, all four of those trunks to get to it. And then kind of allows that well to come forth.
Your brain is a bureaucracy no one should try to tamper with. Red tape everywhere. All right. So, yeah, you do this. And do you lay back down?
I think she sits up.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think she, like, allows herself to doze again. They're feeling a little less than trustworthy, and this is a new thing for them. So they cry, and I think they kind of keep their wits about them as they cry. It's a strange moment for them because it's probably one of the first times that she's allowed herself to really feel these feelings since it happened. Being a doctor, being a medical professional, like, you have to sew yourself up, especially if you're seeing, if you're field medic, if you're seeing any kind of combat. This is just too easy of a breaking point for her to allow. But in this moment, I think they allow that kind of openness with these creatures.
So if anyone was to walk in right now, what it would look like is two monarch butterflies stuck to Hildegard's face as they flutter right in front of their eyes and drink their tears.
You can hear a lot of crying, too. It's pretty disturbing.
Right. But that's not what happens with the rest of you. The rest of you sleep soundly. At some point, Hildegard, you will fall asleep because they will go away, and you have the key with you. And all of you have a normal sleep, and you all wake up, and you all have tears on your face for some reason. So what do you guys want to do?
Hildegard sleeps in.
Okay. Is there something that you want to do before you get back together as a group, Elizabeth?
I think Elizabeth, like, early in the morning, kind of wiping the tears from their face, they will... They're going to do a little creeping around in the sense that they kind of want to creep into the non-occupied rooms that Lucy, that at least Elizabeth thinks that Lucy had showed the nuns, just to see if there's, like, anything that they put in there.
Okay. Hmm. So why don't you give me an observation roll and a stealth roll?
Ooh, okay. My stealth skill is not too bad, I believe.
No, it shouldn't be.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me roll it. So that is one success for stealth and two successes for observation.
All right. At some point, as you're going from one room to another, you hear someone humming. It's Lucy humming some kind of hymn. as she's set upon her work, and you're making your way from one of these rooms to another. You notice that there's not necessarily anything that she's put in, but you do notice that there are some items missing, where there was dust, and then there's a little ring where something was sitting in a few of the rooms.
Do I have any recollection of what might have been there, or is it just kind of inconsequential things that we kind of glanced over?
You do remember that there was a silver cup that was in one of the rooms. That's definitely missing. And there was a picture frame on the wall with a picture that you can't quite remember, but you notice that there's a blank missing there. The rest of the stuff you don't remember because it's all relatively small. Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth is going to bring this up later with the group, but I think she will take the morning to get ready and change, do her hair, kind of set it up in a very tall bun before coming downstairs for breakfast.
Okay. So does anybody have anything they want to do before you all meet up for breakfast or brunch at this point? Because...
yeah, I know that the tears are unusual for Steve, and I wanted to just do a quick observation roll just to see if my innate understanding of like when stuff like this is happening, it's supernatural-esque. I want to see if I have any clues.
If you know that it's what it might be, or if it was just a fluke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you give me an observation roll. You are the occultist, so...
I figure, and since we devastatingly realize I don't have real magic, I'm like, how do I use this? okay, empathy, and yeah, 5. I should be used to this by now. No success, just a waste of time. Thanks. Just cut this all out.
No, that's
I wake up, I did nothing. Thank you.
I will say that at the very least, it is a puzzlement, and that you've never had that happen before. All of you feel, even Hildegard, probably more Hildegard than the rest of you, you all do feel a bit hungover, like something emotional happened, but you don't know if you just had a really bad dream, you don't remember or something, but something emotional happened while you were asleep. There's at least that. Michelle, did you want to do anything before you met up with everybody?
I think once I'm up and ready, I just want to dig into the troll magic book a little more.
Can you give me a learning roll?
Sure. 1 success.
Yeah, you're reading through and you find a ritual that talks about gathering up a bunch of clocks from different places and setting them up in such a way in the area that's being affected. It looks kind of complex, but basically you can create a shell around yourself that blocks from whatever changes the trolls are making for a small amount of time. It's like literally maybe 10 minutes, but it's enough to give you a glimpse into the most accurate timeline. Basically breaking the effects. It's also a little risky though, because you're dealing with large forces. Steve would probably be the best person to deal with that kind of thing, like with setting up the ritual and everything else because of her past. But it definitely seems like something that you could do, maybe glean some information from the other timelines. So, all right, if that's it, then let's fast forward. Hildegard slept in. You're all eating kind of a late, like a brunch at this point. Algot seems like he's acting a little bit more chipper, a little bit less depressed than he was the previous day. Hildegard, do you tell them about what happened to you, or do you keep it to yourself?
I think she's waffling over it at first. They kind of sit in silence eating their breakfast, probably porridge or something.
Yeah,
something 19th porridge. Century like that.
Oatmeal with no oats.
Yes. they're mulling over their breakfast stew and trying to decide, like, how to say it, if they're going to say it at all. They don't want to, like, freak anybody out. Then they're like, you can't freak these people out. This is our job. So I think they eventually get to a place where they're like, okay, so last night I was lucid dreaming, I think. And I saw some Vesen lingering near my face. I snapped awake and
spoke to them in a way that made them come out, and I promised to trade them, my tears, for something of value that they had. I probably should have asked someone if that was okay, but what is done is done.
And they put the key on the table.
This is what I have in return. I have informed them that they are to ask us for what they want, instead of just taking. So you tell me if you have a problem,
Is that why I woke up with tears on my face?
You did too?
Yeah.
Ugh, the same.
So we all did.
Could be. I think you'll find, perhaps you will get notice next time instead of waking up like that.
Huh.
Okay, I think.
I think that was an amazing act of diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I don't think anyone has ever accused me of diplomacy before. I'm quite pleased. Thank you.
Random acts of diplomacy.
I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I completely trust Lucy.
Same.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm wondering if the nuns aren't supposed to be visiting here, why is her mother superior allowing her to live here?
That's a good question.
Because you don't get to do any of that stuff without clearing it with the Mother Superior first.
And multiple times as well. Multiple.
And something I noticed as well this morning, I went through some of the rooms that we went on to the tour, because that's what Lucy said she guided the other nuns around. There were some items that were missing. Some classes, pictures, other places that had like coverings of dust previously.
This could just be basic theft.
Could be.
It could be Vaisen taking stuff.
Maybe, but I don't know if the Vaisen will be quite happy with nuns being in the building.
Mm-mm.
Well, our incredible brownie friend certainly wasn't thrilled with Lucy being here.
No. I did let her know that it's probably not advised. She said she wouldn't bring them back, but I don't know if I trust it.
And how many days has she said? She was here 3? I wonder. That doesn't seem right either.
No.
Mm-mm.
If she's already leading such in-depth tours and moving items around, it suggests a lot more comfort in this place.
And how many rooms are clean?
Hers, for sure.
Hers is clean. Yours all are clean. The front room is clean. The kitchen is getting there. The library's huge, but that's gotten pretty much there. She did mention a basement that you've all been too scared to go into. And there are a lot of bedrooms and guest rooms and stuff like that. And about, I'd say 50% of them are dirty.
I'm just wondering, I mean, we cleaned our own rooms and we helped clean the library. But how much could she have gotten done on her own in 3 days?
Not a ton. I mean, you know, just by herself. You got to figure, because to get the stuff clean, she's got to move everything off, dust it down. The tapestries and the curtains and stuff like that, those are really heavy. You know, they're huge.
Yeah, and they need to be taken outside and beaten.
Yeah, even if you're super strong, like Hildegard, you still might need help just due to the size of the things, because they take up a lot of space. So, like, Hildegard has the strength to be able to move one of them, but, you know, it's just awkward. You know, it's a lot of cloth. There is definitely a bit of a mystery there.
Maybe we should check in with our brownie friend, see if perhaps he can give us a more accurate timeline of what's been going on.
We could also ask Algot as well, see if he knows.
Yeah. Yeah, let's ask Algot first.
Is Algot in the room with us?
Yeah.
He's just been sitting here.
He goes,
just like,
I'm right here. I've been here the entire time. I don't know why you're talking around me like this, but okay. I am here, and I do take up space. What can I help you with?
We just trust you so much, Algot, that we're okay talking in front of you.
You're very, very, very good at your job, and it's a compliment.
It's a compliment that you're a non-entity. So, what question did you want to ask Mr. Algot?
When did Lucy arrive originally?
He goes, you know, I don't remember. She told me 3 days, and I just assumed that was right. But I've been kind of drunk. So my memory's a little bit fuzzy. I started having those dreams a few days ago. It's really difficult to focus in on anything. It's all blurred in my head. From what you're saying, though, it does seem like her friends have been here a lot. She does send me out to the market quite a bit and to, you know, the laundry and whatever, which is normal. But I am gone for large parts of the day.
Do you know who might have invited her here? So we were sent by Linnea.
Well, according to her, Linnea as well. And I believe just above game, I believe Linnea had said that she sent Lucy a note.
Oh, okay.
So she was invited by Linnea, but Linnea does have some visions. So it's hard to say how she picks to call anyone, you know?
Although just because she was invited does not mean that that was a valid invitation.
Right.
Much has changed since even we have been on the job.
Algot goes, well, I mean, if the nuns are coming over often, maybe making yourself scarce, following them, seeing where the nuns are going, maybe that would give you some indication of what's going on. I don't know. So above game, basically, you can go to the nunnery if you want and snoop around there. That was one of the options before. You can talk to the police about the issues that were going on with the... Because Jack, the general store owner, was talking about the fact that there had been issues with the society recently. And there's also the question of, does Mother Superior know she's there? What's going on? Like, how is she getting permission to stay in the society when the nunnery is literally just across the town?
Mm-hmm. I think maybe we should at least check out the nunnery, but it would be interesting to see at least here what's been going on around here with the missing folks.
I even wonder, can she actually see Vason?
True. Do you think they have pictures of people who've... paintings of people who have been in the society previous?
Alcott thinks for a second. He goes, I mean, there are some on the walls around here. In the rooms. I've seen different pictures of different people from past years.
Are they labeled?
Yes, they're all labeled.
Okay. Might do a little search. We'll see if there's maybe a painting of this sister Efka that's around.
And there might be some, well, Sister Efka painting, yes. But other society members, there might be photos because, you know.
It's a little bit sooner, yeah. It's the 1880s, so there might be newer photos of newer ones.
Is that like daguerreotype time?
Yeah, 10.
It's actually past. I think it's like.
10 types.
Because 1860s was daguerreotypes, right? Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Okay. Pictures might be there of newer members. Pictures.
Media exists.
Media exists. A slowogram, anyway.
And Steve has been a little bit lost for asking a question because having a fuzzy timeline kind of puts everything into question what we ask him. But the key, is that still on the table that Hildegard... Okay. I'm going to pick up the key and say, would you by any chance have a... idea where this belongs to? What door or lock, rather?
Algot looks at it for a second and goes, yeah, this looks like it's from the top of the castle. That room's missing, though. The roof kind of came off at some point. We're not sure how, so that's why it's been locked up.
Did you ever know what that room was for?
I know that it was a study area, and it's also an observation area to be able to look over the forest and at the mountains nearby, to look at trolls and giants without getting near them. That key probably goes to the door to the stairway up to the third level. And then you walk up onto the top floor, which is now the ceiling of that particular tower.
I say we go check it out.
Yes, very curious to see what's up there, especially if it was something, anything to do with trolls. Ugh.
So is that the consensus? Does everybody want to go to the top floor?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right.
And I guess maybe try to avoid Sister Lucy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone give me stealth rolls.
Oh. Ooh. Oh. Sorry. Oh, God. Okay, let me change my dice again.
She knows we're there. We would just use different hallways.
One success.
Hildegard is gigantic and not quiet at all.
Okay.
Wait. I actually have to use all of mine. Okay, I'm going to try to do this fairly. It's 8. Please don't fail me. Just one success.
I had no successes.
Greta and Hildegard, our dynamic duo of stealth. you're all walking around and you're heading upstairs and Lucy comes out of nowhere at the bottom of the stairs and goes, oh, where are you all going? I heard you, I'll admit, I heard you stomping around and I just was wondering, is there anything that I can help with?
No, honestly, just trying to get the lay of the land. You've been here how many days longer than us?
Well, now 4 days longer?
Yes, 4 days longer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think Greta just sort of like rolls like a look over their shoulder at the others, like, and then rolls their head kind of back.
Is there something I can help you with? More cleaning, perhaps?
Well, there's always cleaning.
Hildegard makes like they're going to just kind of try to take one for the team and pushes back down the stairs to kind of coax the sister away from these stairs and to go off and do something with them instead.
Okay. You do that and it's a good enough of a ploy to get her to kind of follow you. And, oh, we can do this one over here. And the three of you go upstairs and you get to the staircase where the key fits. And open the door, and you can hear the sound of wind rustling up as you climb the stairs and you come to the top. And you're looking around, and it looks like something hit the top of this and sheared off the top layer of the tower. Make an observation roll for me.
Ooh, that is 2 successes.
1 success.
1 success.
Awesome, okay. So you all are looking around and the highest wall of this room comes up to about, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 feet off the ground. So everyone can see a panoramic view of Uppsala, of the forest and the mountains beyond. And you look at the mountains beyond and one of them has a distinct face in it. I need you all to give me a fear check.
Ah.
Because it is huge.
I succeeded.
2 successes.
Excellent.
1 success.
All right. So you look at the tower, you look at the giant mountain, and it's pretty easy to see what happened. It got up, walked over, and smashed the top off of this tower. Everything's been exposed to the elements. There's been a lot of rain, a lot of damage. I'll say because you all got your observation rolls, it does look like there has been Vason up here. Just you can tell from some of the movement going on, just the way things have been thrown about. And yeah, it's the devastation was pretty bad. And when you look over and you look at the city, you do see impressions of a very large foot in some of the areas where houses have been cleared away. Like there used to be houses there. There's no longer any houses there. But whenever this happened, it was long enough ago that nature has started to hide evidence. And you know from your research that giants in particular don't move very often. They usually stay put for whatever reason. This thing got up and attacked Castle Gyllenkreutz.
What did they do?
That's what I'm wondering. I wonder if there was, like, some sort of weapon or something that was used up here. If this was an observation area, either there's just some disturbance that whoever was up here committed, or some sort of attack.
Yeah, I think you're definitely on the right track. And Steve's just looking and noticing that if we're staring directly into the face of a giant, this would be like a sniper position, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if it was a magical attack. Wondering if they were doing some sort of ritual up here. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right.
Whatever was up here was wiped away with a huge fist. It just destroyed this one tower. It could have destroyed the whole city, but it destroyed one tower.
So yeah, this definitely must have been the point of irritants. Looks like they didn't do much damage.
Comparatively.
Yeah, because the giant could have destroyed the entire building easily.
And the footprints, are they... So they are towards the town, but it wasn't... It was outskirts of Uppsala?
Yeah, from what you can tell, the giant stepped on a few houses.
To get to us.
And they didn't have to take many steps to be able to do what they did, you know? It's an entire mountain. So it just stood up, took two steps, and put its arm out and smashed the tower.
Getting swatting at a fly imagery a little bit.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, it's a bit chilly up here. And though this lovely being over there is probably not going to move, I think I'm done looking at it to avoid offending it by any chance. It's sleeping, right? Literally a sleeping giant. Or is it looking at us?
It's just sitting there. It's hard to tell if it's hibernating or if it's conscious of what's going on around it. But, you know, they don't really move. It's like Ents from Lord of the Rings, where they're just there and they don't really make their presence known until they do, you know? They're very, definitely part of the nature of the area.
I get it. More volcano than dragon attack.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Force of nature. All right, well, let me jump over to Hildegard. So you're walking with Sister Lucy, and she's just kind of, I'm going to use the word prattling on, just like talking about basic stuff. Is there anything in particular you want to, like, pointed question or anything that you want to do?
I think Hildegard just sort of listens as a doctor. Listening to people is part of the job, especially when you're trying to kind of distract them from something. And she sees this as a moment where she's distracting someone. It's not distracting them from getting a leg taken off, but it's distracting them from something pretty important nonetheless. So there's a lot of nodding and a lot of, oh, I see. Yes. Lots of that kind of thing until she mentions her sisterhood. I'm sure she probably has something to say about that. So I think Hildegard kind of shows interest there, not too much, but goes, oh, yes, a nun. Such an interesting life choice you have made. Would you like to tell me more about your life there? I don't know what it is like in a nunnery.
Well, we do a lot of work around the city, repairing things and helping. We also do a lot of praying and outreach to the community. We do food banks and things like that, or soup kitchens, especially since a lot of the industrialization that's been going on. Uppsala is kind of a little bit behind the curve when it comes to that, but it is still something that we pride ourselves on doing. If the Vatican sends us any kind of order that they want us to do, maybe a celebration or something like that, we help with that with the church. Most of the time it's a little boring, if I'm going to be honest. You have to kind of wait for the fun parts of helping people, which is the parts I enjoy.
Oh, so this is a big change then. No wonder your sisters are so curious about your lifestyle.
Yes, I keep telling them not to come over here. But if I'm being honest, I kind of like when they do. It's fun to look around the castle and just take in the history of it all. Now that we're getting it cleaned up, it's looking better and better.
It is, yes.
You know, I do worry about them coming over.
Well, I mean, I can't imagine your mother superior is too happy about it.
Well, so originally I'm not from here. I came from a different nunnery and was transferred over here when I got the note about having the site. I had mentioned it to my priest, and my priest felt like it would be better if I was closer to the society. Said something about wanting the church to interact better with whatever supernatural things were going on, or at least to figure it out, if there's any validity. He didn't really believe in Vason. A lot of them don't, because they can't see it. They just think it's fairy tales.
I see. What was your Vason experience like that led you here?
Well, I saw a troll one day near my church.
Oh, yes. It was looking at you, right?
Yeah. It was weird. It was whittling something with a large knife, and I went closer, even though I was scared. It was a small statue of another troll. Well, small in a troll's hand.
Why do you think it was looking at you?
I'm not sure. Maybe because I had just stepped outside and it noticed me. But whatever it was carving, I was thinking it might be its mother. I will admit to you, though, I do feel awkward being here because I know that there's been issues between Christians and Vason in the past. They don't tend to like, you know, us. It's why I don't wear my cross anywhere that can be seen. It's under my clothing.
Yes, I understand. But, you know, Sister Efke started as one of your brood and was able to join the society and make a difference here. How do you feel about her works? Do you follow in her footsteps?
She's controversial. So the rumor goes that she got pregnant while she was in the society and went out to some cabin to hide away to have the baby. And then when she returned, she became very militant. Or, well, she was militant beforehand.
Hildegard does everything they can to not let their face register the connection that they just made. Like, Hildegard is hanging on for dear life. And she just sort of looks back at Sister Lucy.
This child, do you know what happened to the children?
No, I don't. I mean, there are different rumors that the child was put up for adoption. So the story goes that she was very anti-Vason, that she had heard about them, but she didn't have the sight. Something happened to give her the sight. And that's when she joined the society. But when she joined the society, she did it under false pretenses. She wanted access to Vason. That's when she wrote her guide about different types of Vason. That came out like 10 years after her verse, which is about the dangers of occult and Vason in modern society. That book is held in as like almost a, I hate to say this, but like a secondary Bible of sorts to certain church officials who believe that Vason deserved to be wiped out. The rumor has it she came here to learn about Vason and try to eradicate them and fell in love with one of the other society members. Something happened and she left before she started to show. There's no proof, though. There's nothing. There's no record of a baby being born or that she was even pregnant. She went out on a research trip like we're supposed to do at some point into the woods to go research Vason and was there for a long time. And when she came back, there was no child.
I see. That is a very, very sad story. Such a shame. I imagine that you have ways to keep your wits about you a bit better in here. Yes. Have you seen any Vason in Gillenkreutz?
Not in Gillenkreutz, no. I have not. Not yet. I've only seen the troll.
I see. Well, hopefully your next encounter is just as innocuous as the first.
Well, from what I've read, I've been lucky. So at that point, we'll say the rest of you join. You've come down the stairs, and Sister Lucy probably says, well, I'm going to go do some stuff over here, do some cleaning, allowing you all to be alone for a moment.
It was a pleasure talking to you, Sister, getting to know you.
It was a pleasure talking to you. So do you turn around and do an info dump on everybody else about what she said?
I wait a little while. When everyone kind of comes back to rejoin, Hildegard is going on about absolutely nothing. Just going on about how the day was and how the weather is and it's really nice and just kind of giving a blanket of chatter. And then when they're confident that perhaps listening ears are far away, that's when they do the info dump.
A cabin, she said. Had a baby in a cabin. Elizabeth, remind me. We definitely saw a nun's habit in that cabin.
And Elizabeth immediately takes out the notebook, flips through, and says, I wrote that there's a habit in the cabin that we saw. I remember that there's the single babe that was in there. And also, the creature that was there with the hammer had a habit too on.
Yes.
What if Efka, in all the suffering and everything, when she died, She became one of the malevolent Basin.
It wouldn't surprise me considering, Sister Lucia said that she fell in love with a fellow member of the society. Which, I mean, knowing the troll magics that are in just this building alone, perhaps it was not actually a member of the society, but perhaps a friend, a Vesen friend.
There are certainly many that like to have a short, but maybe sweet, dalliance with our kind. I have to say that I've seen the nun at our secondary cabin as well, the disappearance of the family. She was back there with the stick children, and they were waiting in this pitch darkness, which makes sense. The absence of light in a random space gotta be related to time magic.
Absolutely.
Maybe if we go to the station, figure out the other disappearances, maybe it's also wee babes and such.
So all of you kind of have all this information. You want to go to the police station? Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, that sounds good, because we only know of the one family's disappearance specifically. Of current time, yes.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to do before you leave the castle?
No, don't think so.
Okay.
So, are the sparrows outside of the library too, or are they hanging out in the castle?
They don't really hang out in the castle. They more hang out in the library.
The library. Okay. I was gonna try to pass along a message to the brownie. I just want to know his name. It's crazy. We don't know his name.
You want to go by the library?
Yes.
Okay. So you go by the library real quick before everybody heads out. Are you by yourself or does everybody stick together?
I think we're sticking together.
Yes.
Okay. So you all get to the library and you use the key to open the door. And on one of the stacks of books is the brownie. And he is distraught, standing over one of his sparrow friends who has been severely wounded. And that is where we're going to end this episode.
Oh, no.
No.
I wanted cuteness.
You didn't get
it. The glasses are slightly shattered.
Instead, you get red wall.
Yeah, you get red wall instead of that. But all right. I was wondering if you guys were going to go back in there, too. And I even have his name ready, too. But we'll get to that for the next game. All right. Thank you all so much for playing. There are so many questions, but there are some answers. You guys are getting some answers and moving forward, too. So that's good. Let's find out where all you wonderful people are. Candace, why don't you start us off?
Hello, everyone. I am Candace, also known as Candace Magnificent. You can find me at the Candace Marie on Twitter and Blue Sky, at Candace Magnificent everywhere else. You can see me every other Saturday on Maddie Matihi's channel, aka Piper. Over on Twitch, we do What We Do in the Shallows, which is an original 5e queer pirate horror campaign that is super fun and super cute and very romantic. Lots of exciting things happening over there. You can also hear more of me in the Dareful Archives Girl by Moonlight podcast, Bloom and Blight, where I play Belladonna, the Harmony playbook. And you can also hear some more of my voice acting in The Albright and a few other audio dramas coming soon, including Partial Veil, which is a new audio drama by some really great folks. And it is all about a small town in Montana that has some supernatural occurrences going on. It's basically Fargo meets Eldritch Terror. So check that out, coming soon in September.
Hello, everybody. I am Piper, and I've been Elizabeth. You can find me on Twitter at Maddie Matihi. That's M-A-T-T-Y-M-A-T-E-E-H-E-E. Have to think about it every single time. You can also find me, as Candace had said, on my channel at Matihi on Twitch. And we play it biweekly. It's an absolute hoot of a time. And you can also find me, of course, here on the Hidden North.
Hello, I'm Saint or Saint Spider, and really just look for me on the amazing library in the amazing library of 12 Sided Stories shows. I have done quite a few of them. They've been awesome. And unfortunately, I am nowhere else currently. So please spend some time there. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you go to DriveThruRPG and look up Plate Mail Games.
And my name is Wes Otis. You can find me as Platemail Games on all the socials. You can find the show as 12 Sided Stories, the number 12, and then Sided Stories on all the socials as well, or at our website at 12sidedstories.com. The completely spelled out, no numbers, just 12 Sided Stories, no dashes. You can help us out by joining our Patreon or subscribing through Buzzsprout, or you can give us a review or a shout out. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.